A story that I guess if it had happened in a life we knew, we'd have wanted to sweep under the carpet and have it forgotten. And here it is, hundreds of years later, still being discussed. So what do we make of it? Well, it feels to me a little bit this morning, a bit like what's happening in at one level in my life. I'm currently seeing a physiotherapist getting this dodgy arm sorted out. And the work that the physiotherapist does is painful, but it's powerful and helpful. And it feels to me this morning like this Bible passage is physio for the soul. It might hurt, it might be painful to look at these things, but I hope it's going to do us good. Does that make sense? I'm seeing a few nods. So where are we at? In the early days of the nation of Israel, as you know, as you've been hearing in this series that you've been following, the people were led by prophets and by judges, but they soon asked for a king. Why? So they could be like the other nations. They asked for a king. And the people wrote their own job description for that king. And you can read it back in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 20. It's a really short job description. It says this: the job is for the king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. The king's job was to be at the head of the army. King Saul, as you know, was the first post holder, and then King David. So David would have known the terms of the contract. After all, this was a key moment in the history of the nation. To be at the head of the army to fight the battles, that was the job description for the king. Where was David? David was at home. Well, his army was on the battlefield. David was in the wrong place. Now, this sermon is not about the rights or wrongs of warfare. It's about, at least this section of it, it's about being in the wrong place. So we stand and look at this story and we say, what are you doing here, David? David hadn't shown up for work that day. He'd got a job cut out for him. He'd got a place he needed to be. And instead, he was at leisure. There was a right place, and David was in the wrong place. And because of that simple thing, he ended up in trouble. What had happened to this guy? You only have to go back a few verses to the very end of the previous chapter, where David is in the thick of things. He's at his post. He's leading his army. He's enjoying military success. Had the success made him complacent? Do you sometimes find that the best times can tip so quickly into the worst times? Sometimes when things are great, there seems to be a fragility and we can find ourselves in trouble. Had something else changed? And I don't know about you, but I find that sometimes a change of circumstances can leave me feeling, if you like, outside of the battle, unemployed, redundant. Something like a pandemic comes along and all the previous places where we have been working to fight for justice, to fight for the kingdom of God, to stand up for the right, all those battlegrounds are shut down. In fact, any change in circumstances can feel like being taken off the battlefield, as if we've lost our chance to work and to fight for the kingdom of God. Some of you will have experienced that when the children have left home and suddenly all the business and activity. And what's next? And you can feel like you're out of things. Sometimes it can happen when a partner goes into residential care or sadly dies. And suddenly all the things that occupied us and kept us busy, all the things that we knew we were doing that were good things to care for somebody else, that kept us busy and working and occupied and demonstrating the love of God to those closest to us. Those things have ended. When we lose a job or retire. Yet the Bible describes the Christian life as a battle. Somebody said to me once that there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. If you're not dead, you're not done. I might have said that before, just once. And sometimes it can feel like circumstances can knock us out of our active, busy program. But there is still stuff to do. Stuff to pray, to help others, to fight for justice. Sure, it's harder in a pandemic. It's harder when you're in pain, when you have challenges with health and mobility and employment and finance. It's harder when you're poor or lonely. But there is still a battle to fight and work to do. King David had his place at the head of the army, but he was not there. He, and here's the poignance of it, he gave a call to arms. He sent his army out to the battlefield, but he himself stayed at home and got himself into trouble. And before the pandemic, maybe some of us had a problem. We were what I used to call out and out Christians. You know, out Monday, out Tuesday, out Wednesday, out Thursday. Every day, busy. So busy for some of us that there was no time to pause and stop. Have we, during the pandemic, fallen into the opposite, some of us? We've got used to being at home. We've got used to feeling safe. But I wonder if God, through this challenge from King David, is just asking the question. You know, we are, of course, meant to stay safe. And some of us need to shield. But do you need to sword as well? Sometimes, even if we're at home, there's a battle to be fought. There's work to be done. There's a kingdom of God to be built. There are things that we can work on. Shielding, yes, but sword too. Some of us, perhaps, need to get back to the battlefield. It's a bit, for King David, like that old proverb has it. The devil makes work for idle hands. So here's your chance to have a little stock take. Where are you? Are you out there on the battlefield? Or are you lazing at home with nothing worthwhile to do? Are you on the battlefield at home? Or are you lazing at home, idle, unoccupied, struggling to fill your day? Like David, kicking around his palace. Did you notice in the Bible reading that little giveaway? David got up in the evening. Now, okay, Middle Eastern culture, maybe you have a siesta, maybe that's okay. But what was his army doing? I bet they didn't get much of a kip. Do you need to get back to the battlefield? David was in the wrong place. That's my first thought from this passage. Here's my second. And we know about King David. He was a poet and a musician, a man of faith with an active relationship with God. We know that, don't we? Look at all those psalms. David could have gone up to the roof to look up at the evening sky, to pray to God, to see the sunset, to play some worship music on his lyre, to watch the stars come out and write another psalm. He could have done that. That was part of who he was. That was part of the drive that saw him defeat Goliath. Part of the story of his faith. But David, this day, does not do any of those things. Instead of looking up, he wanders around the parapets on the roof of the palace, looking down, spying on people, feeding his carnal appetite. We humans do have appetites, don't we? For food and sex and comfort and wine gums. Fill in the dots, you know. And sometimes those appetites get the better of us. If we don't keep our appetites in check, they can lead us astray. Yes? It was never more true than it was in this story. King David indulged his appetite, in this case, his appetite for sex, and it ended in murder. From his rooftop, he saw Bathsheba having a wash. The scripture here again is remorseless and tells us that David noticed that she was very beautiful. Now, that's not half a glance and quickly looking away, the millisecond it takes. He must have stared and checked her out, mustn't he? And then he looked her up on the internet. And he found out that she was married to a soldier, a man who was away at the battle. And as the events unfolded over the next few days, David chose the wrong path. He indulged the wrong appetite, the wrong thing. Even before he got off the roof, we know he is in trouble with his appetites. The Bible tells another story of a man on a rooftop. In Acts chapter 10, we read about the apostle Peter, who went up onto a rooftop to pray. Here's a parallel story. Just like David, Peter was under pressure from his human appetites. This guy was hungry. Peter needed food, but the Holy Spirit had put another appetite into Peter. He needed to seek God. He was hungry for a hummus sandwich. They don't eat ham, do they, Jews? He was hungry for a hummus sandwich, but he was hungrier for the Holy Spirit. May God give us Peter's hunger for the presence of God. Back on his rooftop in Jerusalem, King David was in the wrong place, feeding the wrong appetite. Thirdly, he'd put himself at the center of his world. David the king should have been at the head of the army, risking death. Yet here he is in safety and comfort. King David should have honored Bathsheba, but instead he took his own pleasure at her expense. David should have respected Bathsheba's husband, who was away at the battlefield, but instead he engineered the death of this loyal, honorable man. David knew what God wanted, but instead he chose selfish self-interest. And the cult of the self is ultimately destructive. And curiously, in Daniel chapter 4, we find yet another man on a rooftop. And here is King Nebuchadnezzar, standing on his roof, foolishly complaining that all his military success is his own achievement. All the splendor of the nation is a demonstration of his own glory. And that display of arrogance and pride tips Nebuchadnezzar into psychosis, self-neglect, and isolation. Eventually, he returns to himself. And when he does so, he's rediscovered humility. He gives praise to God, who alone holds the glory in his hand. After trying to snatch it all for himself, he realizes it is only God who deserves our worship. King David served himself above his people, his army, his citizens, and his God. So the rooftop is a place of temptation and decision. David chose to be in the wrong place. He chose to feed the wrong appetite. He chose to focus on the wrong person, himself. Do you sometimes feel like David? God offers us forgiveness. Jesus can take us back to the battlefield. Jesus can refresh our appetite, our hunger for God himself. And Jesus can fill our hearts, not with self-interest, but with care for others. Let's pray. Sometimes we stay behind when there are battles to be fought. Lord, please show us where to join the fight for justice. Sometimes we allow the wrong appetites to get us into trouble. Lord, please fill us with a hunger for God. Sometimes we get preoccupied with ourselves. God of love, fill us with care for others and a deep desire to worship you. David's God and ours, keep us from these perils. Help us to follow you. Amen.